It's been 5 years since XXXTentacion was shot and killed, and fans are still eager to know exactly what happened. Now, don't get me wrong, we have plenty of information of what went down at the crime scene, thanks to different angles provided from security cameras and bystanders. We know for a fact that X first withdrew $50,000 in cash from a Bank of America, before he was then followed into a motorsports store in his native Florida, where he was sadly shot dead moments later. His killers Michael Boatwright, Dedrick Williams, Trayvon Newsom, and Robert Allen claim to have no major ties to X, and that they were only looking for someone to rob. However, with X's half-sister claiming that somebody on the inside knew where he was going to be, there may be enough evidence to prove that X's murder was a hit job, rather than a robbery gone wrong.
This episode is powered by Pure Tested Peptides, America's most trusted source for 99% lab-tested peptides. Every product is verified by advanced HPLC and MS testing, so you know you're getting nothing but the best. Their focus on purity, performance, and precision has made them a top name for researchers nationwide. Every batch is verified by independent labs for accuracy and consistency with fast shipping, real purity data, and a reputation backed by professionals across the country. When you want true quality and reliability, check out puretestedpeptides.com. The link's right there in the description.
And today, we're going to investigate the mysterious death of XXXTentacion. Let's start by recounting the strange timeline of events that many people don't talk about. It all starts with a black SUV that was driven by Dedrick Williams, along with three friends by the name of Michael Boatwright, Robert Allen, and Trayvon Newsom. Remember these names and labels, as they will all play a pivotal role in the story moving forward. At 8 p.m. on June 17, 2018, only one day before X was murdered, a woman by the name of Toni Robinson rented a 2017 Dodge Journey using the Turo app. She was a close friend of Dedrick Williams. They chose to only rent the car for one day, making it align perfectly with the day X was killed. Coincidence? Well, when you consider the actions the following day, it seemed evident that they had something big planned. Breaking down the timeline of events, a Reddit user by the name of Zephania made an interesting point. At 1:18 p.m. June 18th, Boatwright goes to Dedrick's home and stays until 3:03 p.m. when Allen and Newsom arrive, and Dedrick Williams asks Sherrod Clayton to babysit his children before he leaves. In the meantime, X is currently with Leonard Kerr, the guy who was in the car with him at the time of the murder, and withdraws $50,000 in cash. In my opinion, the timing of him asking for his neighbor to babysit his kids makes me wonder if he was being fed information by the second and had to make that decision on the spot, given that the vehicle was rented in advance but he didn't have a plan for his kids. Later in the video, you'll see why Zephania's statements make a lot of sense. Once X and his uncle Leo arrived at Riva Motorsports around 3 p.m., Dedrick and Robert Allen are seen appearing shortly after to confirm that X was in the store, before going on to purchase two black ski masks. This is also another strange detail, being that his face would already be caught on surveillance camera when he entered. So, was the motive to disguise his identity or confirm that his target was there? Nonetheless, X weirdly didn't spend any of his cash at the store and decided to head out after about a half an hour passes. However, as they were heading out to what was said to have been the only exit, the rented black SUV we mentioned earlier blocked their way, and two armed men in black hoodies hopped out and approached X's very identifiable BMW i8. After a struggle ensued and Uncle Leo fleeing the scene, X was brutally murdered with two shots to the neck after first refusing to let go of his valuable. Now, there's a few more things I found strange about this altercation. Considering there were four armed men against an unarmed man, it seemed a bit odd for the killer to shoot X over a Louis bag, especially when he already had it in his possession before he killed him. Did they know how much money was inside the bag? Also, why did neither of the killers attempt to stop Uncle Leo from fleeing into Riva Motorsports and calling 911? For some fans and true crime enthusiasts, it all seems orchestrated. Particularly when X was a polarizing figure both in hip-hop and in the Florida neighborhoods that he had terrorized in his youth. How and why did they know that he walked back out with $50,000? It definitely wasn't a robbery gone wrong. This last comment definitely brings up an interesting perspective, as you'll see later in the video that X and his killers may have been a lot closer than you think. But first, we need to know a little more about X's upbringing. For those who don't know, throughout his younger days, X was a troubled kid who would engage in multiple serious crimes and a whole lot lot of street fights. These actions would eventually send him to juvie numerous times. He even opened up about how ready he was to get down with his opponents on the famous No Jumper podcast.
Are you a fighter? You've been getting a lot of fights?
Bro, I've been fighting since I was a kid.
Fuck.
What, he's always been throwing the hands or what?
I mean, I've been there plenty of situations, like plenty of fights. Like, I knew him for 4 years, yeah.
Arm robbery, arm burglary, possession of a firearm, arm burglary with dwelling, resisting without violence. Grand theft of three charges.
Yeah, he got a lot of charges.
Possession of oxycodone.
They was trying to direct filed his ass.
It's also important to note that X's killers were also approximately the same age as him. So it's very possible that X had crossed paths with them in his youth. To emphasize how close their orbits were, X went to high school at Piper while Michael Boatwright attended Coral Springs just 15 minutes away. Though Boatwright was 3 years X's senior, it is highly probable that their paths might have frequently crossed, possibly within similar social groups. Intriguingly, they both spent time in juvenile detention centers located in Pompano Beach and Fort Lauderdale. Given that this area's population is around 300,000 people, one might wonder, how could their paths not have intertwined at some point? Still, despite all these potential connections, X's killers largely played dumb when asked if they had any inclination about who he was. But it doesn't fully add up. Throughout his testimony as a state witness in order to get a lighter sentence, Robert Allen maintained that X was just in the wrong place at the wrong time, and that it could have been anyone who was held up by them that day.
Whose idea was it to rent the vehicle?
Injury.
Why?
Rob
who?
His half-sister, Ariana, feels different. Speaking to The Sun, she suggested that someone had definitely set him up.
There's somebody in the inside that knew where he was going to be at the exact time and when he was leaving that exact time for them to know when to come and to do what they did.
From the very moment that the news broke, it was said that X's family and close confidants were skeptical about this being a random attack due to X reportedly being aware that he had enemies in his native Florida. Honestly, I hate to say it, but I don't believe it was a robbery, said ZX Flo, a close friend and producer for X. I know there were people who were very jealous and envious of him. He came from an area where not a lot of people make it out. As a consequence of the danger, X was warned to beef up his security weeks before the murder, but hoping to retain a shred of a normal life, he refused. In doing so, he left himself open to attacks that would have been impossible with a full security detail accompanying him. Although comments such as ZX Flo's suggest that someone might have wanted X dead, what would they have to gain from it? Would it just be simple retribution, or were there financial incentives that went beyond the $50K that his killers made off with? Let's take a deeper look. Now that we have explained the oddly strange details of the case, it's time to take a look at why anyone would want XXXTentacion dead. Aside from the possibility that someone who X had wronged in the past might have had a vendetta against him, there is one argument which points to the one thing that makes the whole world go round: money. As I delved into with the video Why Rappers Are Worth More Dead Than Alive documentary, that you can click at the end of this video, X's death caused his market value to explode massively. One person who might have financially benefited from X's death would be the label Empire. Having signed X to a multi-million dollar deal just prior to his death, it's likely that the company would have taken a life insurance policy out on someone as volatile as X. This is nothing new. In fact, it's frighteningly familiar. And now that so many Empire-backed artists have died, including Young Dolph, King Von, and PnB Rock, there's a theory that Empire is sacrificing their artists for insurance money. But like I said, it's just a conspiracy theory. Then there's X's mom, Cleo Bernard. Since becoming the head of X's estate, her net worth has boomed to $10 million. After he passed, she came under fire from his entire fan base for everything from using X's last song to promote an artist she was managing, to allowing the BMW i8 that he had died in to become a museum exhibit. Nowadays, she lives in the lap of luxury, regularly posting pictures of herself in exotic locations and limiting the comments on every post to stem the flow of negativity. Obviously, this is just a theory too, but it's one that Cleo was understandably not fond of. In 2018, she even sued Ariana for claiming that she was involved in the murder of her own son. Then you have the possible explanation that actually made it to the courtroom. Now, this part is really crazy, so you guys gotta stay with me here. It's that Drake was the mastermind of the whole operation. I seriously hate the fact I have to bring this up, but there's a bunch of evidence to back this up. Years ago, X took issue with Drake stealing his flow from Look At Me for the track KMT, and at one point, a tweet from his account read, "If anyone tries to kill me, it was at Champagne Poppy," which is, as you guys may know, Drake. Later, X would claim he was hacked. But Dedrick Williams' attorney thought this was so crucial that he even attempted to get Drizzy Drake to appear in court, and claimed that because the county wanted this high-profile case wrapped up fast, they didn't fully explore this possibility.
Guys, before you guys, if anybody kills me, it's Drake. Do you think in that time span that they went and they addressed them, they talked to him? No. Do you think sitting here today, years later, any detective has ever asked, you know, Drake or anybody like that? No. They never did that. So you ask yourself, how could that be?
Despite their best efforts, the attempt to get Drake to appear in the courtroom was thrown out. And honestly, I'm not surprised. Because not only would Drake never risk his career and freedom by calling in a hit on one of the most famous rappers in the world, but X's eventual killers are the last people you would hire to do the job. It's hard to underestimate the stupidity of the four men who claimed X's life. Let's start with Dedrick Williams, arguably the dumbest of the bunch. He walked into the store with tons of camera angles pointing directly at his face and buys two ski masks during the summer. In addition, he was wearing orange sandals before, during, and after the killing. Rather than laying low, he also immediately went on a shopping spree. He would then show off the money he stole on Instagram alongside Boatwright and Newsom, all being caught red-handed posting with the ill-gotten cash. But wait till you hear what Michael Boatwright, the one who pulled the trigger, did in court. Alongside smiling throughout the trial, he infamously blew a kiss at X's family after being handed a life sentence. This behavior was also seen in a video of him posted after X's death.
What y'all doing, bro? I don't got nothing. What y'all doing, bro? What y'all doing, bro? I don't got nothing, bro. Please, please don't do it. Please don't shoot me. I got kids. I got people to live for. Please don't.
Fuck that nigga, man. Y'all should have heard this nigga last words, bro.
When it came time to let him know his fate, the judge didn't hesitate to remind him of the dark future ahead of him, after he had been accused of not taking the trial seriously whatsoever.
You'll spend every hour and every day and every week and every year of your life in that cell. And one day, they'll come and open up that cell in the morning and you'll have passed on. And only on that day will you have served your sentence.
So yeah, it's no surprise that X's killers would all eventually receive life sentences, except for the one person who was willing to snitch on everyone, Robert Allen. At the time of this recording, he only has 2 years left in prison, making him the smartest of the stupid bunch. The rest will be rotting behind bars for eternity.